Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, January 6th, 2014. A lot of things to talk about today. We're going to be talking about, of course, the markets. We're going to talk about the Pentagon is looking for new ways to weaponize the drones, but we're also going to be talking about pensions, and we're going to be talking about gold and silver and the financial markets. First, let's go ahead and see what gold and silver has done for the day of January 6, 2014. You have gold. It was up almost $12.50. We're looking at about $12.39 right now, so a little bit of reversal at the end of the day. Silver's still up 2 pennies today at 20.27. We did have a high of 20.46. Platinum was up $9 today at 14.24, along with palladium up 10 at $741. Crude oil today is trading lighter, down 0.21 at 93.75. And the paper markets today didn't get off the ground much. I think they were in the red most of the day. You had the Dow down 45 points, so they're ending slightly lower. Of course, everyone is waiting for the December job report later on in the week. So you had the Dow down 45 points at 16,425. The NASDAQ down 18 at 41.13. S&P down 4 at 18.26. And the 10-year yield is still treading about 2.96, down 0.03 on the day. Hi, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Good Monday to you.
Good Monday. Mm-hmm. How do you like the new year, Melody? Do you think that 2014 so far has been a better year than 2013, or about the same, or what do you think?
Well, I think every year is good. I'm breathing and alive, so that's, it always makes it a good year. But financially, I think 2014 is going to be a very interesting year. 2013, I think it's good to be out. I think 2014, you're going to see a lot of interesting things happen, and I think you're going to see a fight. I think you're going to see things who I don't think we're going to be in the year of no one knows what to expect. I think things will be very defined in 2014.
What do you mean by you expect a fight?
I think it's, I think out of Washington, you're going to see it become a little more vocal. I was watching an advertisement for a young man out of Nebraska. I'm not quite
sure. Selling young men in Nebraska?
Yeah, I want one. No. Uh-huh. A young man, an advertisement for the Senate. And the last name is, I'm not quite sure the pronunciation is S-A-S-S-E, I believe. Very interesting. It actually gave me hope that there would be more young men like him. He's a little bit different than even from what we've already seen with Cruz and Rand Paul and some of the others. He really had it together. It's very interesting. So, for anybody who has the internet and can look up his advertisement, it was very nicely done, and we need more like him.
So you're saying you think there is going to be an outbreak of at least some politicians who are going to try to tell the truth?
Yes, I do believe so. I think we're going to lead up to the election. I don't think the election's going to change. I still believe the Democrats are going to take it, but
I don't think so.
I do. No,
I think they're going to have a hard time getting away from Obamacare. I don't know that either party will be particularly predominant. There'll be one that has more than the others, probably. I don't expect it to be even, but I'm kind of thinking, unless something extraordinary happens, you know, it'll be pretty much a 50-50 deal.
But I still think the Democrats, I don't think the Obamacare is going to keep them out of there. So I think the Democrats are going to get in there, and a lot of interesting things will happen thereafter.
So we may not actually have any health care, but we will have Democrats. Is that what you're telling me?
Unfortunately. Yeah. Unfortunately.
All right. What else have we got?
Well, I saw today they came out with U.S. stock ownership. And what's interesting, they talk about all the millions of people that are missing out on soaring stock prices. And they say, but nearly half of all Americans aren't investors. Well, isn't it true that 50% get some sort of a government check or close to it? It's easy to say 50%, but so why would they be investing?
Well, I would argue that probably only about 2 or 3% of American people are investors. That is to say, they own gold or silver. I'd say that majority of Americans, including the 50% that are in the market, are not investors per se. They're speculators.
That's true.
They're picking up a stock today to sell it tomorrow to buy another one on Thursday and so on to see how they can play this game. And insofar as that's true, I'm exaggerating to make a point, but I'd bet that the majority of people who own stocks are not properly described as investors. They're described as speculators. So, investors in gold, maybe a few people in stocks, maybe a few people in bonds, but mostly speculators.
Well, they really want everybody in there. Recently, a client showed me what their monthly bank statement was. They had almost, it was just shy of about $250,000. That interest, Al, for 1 month was like $1.88.
I understand.
So in 12 months, on almost $250,000.
They'll make about $24.
But yet, dividends. All you hear about is dividends that are being paid from a lot of these corporations. And a lot of these corporations, it's so cheap to borrow money that they borrow to pay for these dividends. I mean, that's how they pay the dividends.
Mm-hmm.
And
by paying the dividend, they create the illusion that the stock has more value than you can derive from the earning capacity. The stock doesn't have its value based on its earning capacity, it has its value based on its borrowing capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you only need to roll that around the back of your mind for a couple of seconds before you think, wait a second, that can't be right. That can't work out in the long run. That can't,
I just can't believe how anyone can feel secure in these markets because they're just so distorted and there's no truth. Truth doesn't lie anywhere.
Yeah, it's around here. You can find it, but you aren't going to find it on a regular basis, certainly not from government, and almost certainly not from mainstream media.
Mm-mm.
You'll get what's politically correct, but that probably won't be the truth.
There's a Chinese company. They're planning to contribute about $90 million to a joint venture to drill for natural gas in Pennsylvania, Denver, and Colorado. Energy Corporation of America says today in a release that Shenhua America Holdings Corporation, they're going to be part of a 50-50 joint venture to develop 25 natural gas wells in Greene County over the next 18 months. And that's just roughly about 75 miles south of Pittsburgh. Now, this Shenhua is a Chinese state, if I'm pronouncing it properly, is a state-owned coal company. And, of course, they're going to contribute the first $90 million for drilling the wells, and Energy Corps will operate the properties. So it's interesting, it's a state-owned company.
I understand. Well, hmm.
And
well, you have to expect it because we've run those incredible deficits in our trade with China. China stacked up a couple of $1 trillion in reserves. They're not going to just feather their beds with them. They're going to do something with them, especially if they think the dollar is going to become less valuable. It means you got to spend it now. If we're going to see a loss in the value of the dollar, the obvious implication is get out there and spend what you got now before it becomes worth less. So they'll do it, and the one place they can certainly spend it is here in the United States. They may not be eager to take dollars in India or Africa or South America. I know they will, but here in the United States, they have to. And so from the Chinese perspective, you know, this makes great sense. From the American perspective, it is simply evidence of great malfeasance, negligence, betrayal, arguably treason committed by our own government that allowed this monstrous global financial system to emerge, and at the expense of the American people. And it's not a small expense. It's a big expense. It involves shipping jobs overseas and inviting illegal aliens to enter this country. And by the time we're done and then changing the currency will collapse before this is done or be badly diminished in value. This is all going to happen to the American people, and many of the people who are listening to this program right now will see their standard of living dropping dramatically over the course of the next several years. The American dream is being wiped out. American dream was always that the next generation would always live better than the previous generation. That dream is just going by the wayside. Nobody expects the next generation to live as well as the current generation. Our government has betrayed us, and insofar as you're going to see Chinese wells being drilled in Pennsylvania and Colorado, and I don't remember which other state did you say?
Well, what's interesting, too, remember we talked about this about a month or so ago, where that was Denver, Colorado, and around Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where they were building a China city in America.
Yep.
Well, the American Free Press did an article on this 600-acre China City of America, and a comment by the writer says that the U.S. is selling a set of visas for the investor's entire immediate family for $500,000. In short, we are selling an invitation to live in this country for peanuts to aliens who apparently have no other way of becoming immigrants. They evidently have no skills, no family connections, no refugee status. It's amazing what this city is going to consist of. It's called the China City of America and will be funded largely, again, by private Chinese investors and the Chinese government.
Mm-hmm.
The project calls for multi-use commercial, residential, business, education, amusement, and entertainment components. The draft generic environmental impact statement prepared by the town of Thompson, New York, is located in Sullivan County, describes the project as being implemented in three separate phases and consuming roughly 600 acres. It'll involve construction of a college, and associated dormitory units and cultural recreational facilities, according to the environmental impact statement. I mean, this is massive. This is incredible.
Well, it's just, you know, another leaf in the breeze. Those dollars are coming home to roost. That's what it comes down to. And unless it now we are beginning to see a situation where some people would argue that in order to protect the nation from a serious cultural change, they may have to repudiate the debt just to keep all those dollars from coming back. And I'm not making that recommendation. I'm just saying that I'll bet you there are people that are thinking about it right now. If they wiped out the debt and they said, oh, sorry, that couple trillion dollars you've got there in China, well, guess what? It's not worth anything anymore. So you can just take your China city and your China oil wells and the rest of that and haul them back to Peking. You won't be able to buy them over here. You won't be able to work them over here. This country has been incredibly irresponsible. We have or had an extraordinary blessing in this country, and our government has consented to urinate that blessing away in order to make a few fast bucks, in order to run some deals, in order to expand the power of government, in order to police the world. And now it's all blowing up in our face. And we can blame the government. You know, I certainly do. But we also have to take responsibility for it ourselves, because most of the people in the United States have insisted on their right to be just as dumb and ignorant and therefore blissful as is humanly possible. That ignorance, that bliss that was perhaps commonplace for many of the last 20, 30 years, that we're going to pay for it. You're going to move. We are going to learn lessons, and we are going to eliminate, wipe out our ignorance, and we are also going to wipe out our bliss, and we're going to see some trouble that a lot of people would not have believed possible 30, 40 years ago.
Well, what's interesting about this is, you know, I mean, they're building colleges. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone was sort of concerned that we'd be facing Sharia law here in this country. Well, you know, how are their policies going to impact? And this writing goes on to say that, didn't say that, but it's in the stages of becoming implemented. However, an outcry from the American public may terminate this project, and rightly so. And it's becoming more and more clear that the ruling elite controlling the financial and political establishment in the U.S., they are willing to give up the American sovereignty.
Yeah. No, I understand. They're not just willing. They're working for it. All right? Because it's bad for business. American sovereignty is part of the reason why we have tariffs and part of the reason there are restrictions on global free trade. All of those restrictions ultimately trace back to national sovereignty. Each nation is saying, look, you can't be selling all your stuff in our country unless we inspect it and we, you know, affix appropriate taxes and on your imports. In order to have global free trade, we pretty much have to eliminate national sovereignty. And then it just becomes a question of sell your goods wherever you can find them, wherever you can find a market. Now, some people are going to say that's great for this global economy, but, and on one level, that there's truth to that. But it's terrible for the nation. National values will be lost. There will be a McDonald's on every street corner from in Peking and Chicago and Mexico City and throughout the world, and there will be brands that will just trade everywhere. And all of the cultures will become, to some degree, homogenized. It'll never be truly the same every place you go, but it'll be so similar that there won't be much call for traveling to a foreign country, because all you're going to get is another dose of the same sandwiches and fast food that you're already eating in this country. I'm Alfred Adisk. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. Take a break for some commercial announcements. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adusk here with Melody Cederstrom. She's not whistling today, but she is humming.
Oh, you heard me.
Oh, yeah, we heard you. Yeah. We heard you humming along with the music to the bumper music to the program. Our program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What you got for folks, Melody?
Well, first I want to tell the folks, stay warm out there. The average temp in the U.S. is, what, 21.8 degrees? That was up from earlier today. I saw it was like 14 degrees Fahrenheit. So, I mean, you have all kinds of records. Chicago smashes their record low. Actually, I saw a headline where the South Pole was actually warmer than O'Hare. You have Arctic birds are seen in Florida. Tulsa temperatures, record lows. I don't know what frost quakes are from Canada. So you have a lot of things. You're going to have a lot of power. The demand, that is going to soar. So I'm not sure if folks will be seeing any power outages. I guess depending on the snow and the ice and the wind. But, yes, there's tons of flights that have been canceled from this Arctic chill that we're receiving. So folks, be careful out there and check on your neighbors, your friends. If you have elderly folks that live next to you, make sure they're all okay. And, you know, look out for one another. So, but for all your gold and silver coin needs, give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at DGScoins.com, and make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And we've been having a little bit of a problem. I've been told that the recordings of the program, our server is down. So I know we're live, and that's getting out everywhere, but perhaps we might our archives might be a little late getting posted today. So but give us a call, folks, 800-375-4188. And for those of you who would like to have a question for us, call us at 1-800-596-8191. We are live at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're listening at that time, give us a call at 800-596-8191. And if you happen to be listening to the program on a later time, you can always email us your questions. So just do that, questions@dgscoins.com.
Well, you can also put some of those questions in a bottle and float them down a creek. And
now, their questions are more important than that, Al.
You never know. We might be able to pick them up at the beach.
You think?
Keep our eyes peeled for any bottles. I always do when I go to the beach. I keep my eyes peeled for any bottles that might have a message in them, and also for those lamps that might have a genie in it. You know? Yeah, may be able to find a lamp that has a genie. So it's just one of those things. Keep an eye out for them. What else do we got, Melody?
I prefer the genie. Anyway, let's go ahead and talk about the drones. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about Walker.
Okay. Got an article here from Washington Times. It's just a brief. It's just a couple of paragraphs. The headline is Pentagon looks for new ways to weaponize 11,000 drones. Okay, they've got 11,000 drones, and they got to figure a new way. They're looking for new weapons to hang on those drones. I don't know. Maybe they'll use spears before they're all over, before they're done. Yeah? A recent report by U.S. Department of Defense highlights the Pentagon's desire to adapt roughly 11,000 drones for lightweight precision-guided weapons for emerging threats in the Asia-Pacific region. Now, here is what rings my bell. I'm going to read a 37-word sentence from the website Defense Tech, which is explaining these how they want to weaponize these 11,000 drones. At least it's allegedly explaining. It says, quote, adapting proven weapons technology with new concepts to take advantage of unmanned systems persistence and emerging net-centric capability, manned and unmanned teaming will be critical to improving the sensor-to-shooter equation and further decreasing the kill chain timeline. So my suggestion to the Pentagon is that it not only look for new ways to weaponize 8,000 drones, they also look for new ways to communicate with the American people. A 37-word sentence is incomprehensible. What does it mean? So, maybe we'll see a headline tomorrow that they are going to search for a new way to communicate with the American people. First, learn to communicate, and then we'll learn to use then we'll learn how to weaponize the drones. You wanted to go to Scott Walker. Is that what you want to do next?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. Here's the headline. This is from the Washington Examiner. Scott Walker, unemployment benefits, minimum wage, push because Obama desperately wants to avoid Obamacare. Now, Governor Scott Walker, Republican of Wisconsin, is being quoted here. And he indicated that he was not necessarily opposed to extending jobless claims, but he dismissed the White House's push to extend emergency unemployment benefits and raise the minimum wage on Sunday morning. He was criticizing the Democrats' all-out push for legislation as an effort to distract from the recent problems with the new health care law. If they want to desperately talk about anything, excuse me, not if, he said they, meaning Democrats, want to desperately talk about anything other than Obamacare, said Governor Walker, a conservative Republic being mentioned as a potential 2016 presidential candidate. He was on CNN's State of the Union, and I think he makes an interesting point. Will the Obama administration risk advocating or opposing radical new laws in order to force people to look at something other than Obamacare? For example, if Obamacare advocates, where did I come up with that word? If Obama advocates,
you want to go back to your?
I'm beginning to sound like George W. Bush. beginning
drone.
To sound like George W. Bush here. Advocates. I'm making these words up as they go along. I'm misremembering how these words were actually spelled and pronunciated.
Sounds like a series, a TV series, The Advocators.
The Advocators. If Obama advocates more gun control, that advocacy will certainly distract those who are dedicated to preserving the Second Amendment from focusing on Obamacare. Likewise, if Obama advocates looser abortion laws, the resulting controversy will pit the right to life people against the woman's choice people. Result, those two groups will be distracted from the Obamacare issue and problems. In other words, if you think Obamacare is dumb, watch and see what kind of idiotic, scene-stealing laws Obama proposes for the next 90 days. All right? It's possible that he's going to trot out every odd, weird, peculiar, bizarre, irrational law that anyone's ever heard about in order to just get people looking at that. Here's a sideshow. Look at the sideshow over here. Pay no attention. Pay no attention to Obamacare. Look at the sideshow. Got the freak show going on here in Congress. We'll see. I don't know that that'll happen, but it's at least possible. And all of this raises an interesting question. Why is Obama so desperate to protect Obamacare? Is it merely because of ego? In other words, Obama is so closely associated with Obamacare that if Obamacare fails, President Obama will become a laughingstock. He'll never get over it. I mean, if he can't make this work, he can't make anything work. Or, all right, could be ego. Maybe that's why he doesn't want anything to happen to his precious Obamacare. Or is it because Obamacare will cause such an enormous change in our political system that the whole country, like it or not, will be pushed dramatically to the left? Therefore, the leftists, socialists, communists, and collectivists of the left are desperate to keep Obamacare, no matter how technically absurd that law may be. Is that the reason? What do you think, Melody? Is it just ego, or are they trying to... Is Obamacare such a radical departure from traditional American values that the leftists, the collectivists, they want to keep it at any cost? What do you think?
You're not going to like my answer.
Uh-huh, both of them. You're going to say, mm-hmm.
But I think that
you should have been a politician. I don't understand why you should be, well, I'm in favor of both of those. I can see, you know.
But I do think it is because it is the latter of your statement. They are desperate to keep it will change. It is one of the worst legislations that's ever been written, that's ever been passed. It has taken everything away from us. It has intruded on our privacies more than and people can't see through it.
Yeah.
And I believe, I mean, the whole reason they postponed corporations, people with more than 50 employees, to have to adapt to Obamacare until after the election. That alone postpones a lot of the news that Obamacare would have had to endure prior to the election. And I think come around the election, I think people are going to forget about Obamacare. People have short memories. We know this.
It's not just a question of short memories. We live in a world that is so technologically complex that it's virtually impossible for the average man to understand what's going on. And that makes the average man extraordinarily vulnerable. What does Obamacare mean? You know, Nancy Pelosi said, well, first you have to vote for it, and then you can see what's inside it. Oh, yeah? Well, here's the reality of it. It's not just first you have to vote for it, and then the Congress find out what's inside it. First they have to install it, and then all of us out here in TV land, then we are going to understand what's really going on. And we are buying a pig and a poke in part because our society has become so complex that it's very difficult, very challenging for average people to follow and understand what's taking place. And if they don't understand, it's easy to deceive them. It's a little bit like taking candy from a baby or whatever. It's here, let me give you an ice cream cone, and you can give me that piece of paper that's actually a stock certificate for 100,000 shares of IBM. The kids will take that. The average voters will take that because they don't really understand. And it's not a small thing. The world has become so complex that it's probably beyond the average person's capacity to easily understand. 100 years ago, that wasn't the case. 100 years ago, an average man could understand what was going on.
Yeah, because you didn't have attorneys. You didn't.
Well,
have
you didn't have attorneys. You didn't have the same.
I mean, they write. You know, it's, you didn't have all the small print like you have today.
I understand. And who reads it? You know,
nobody.
How many software programs do you have on your computer where they have an agreement, right? Before you can use the software, you have to agree. I read and understand the freaking software agreement, and I agree to it, and so on and so forth. I don't read any of them, and neither does anyone else.
I do.
I don't know what those agreements actually have committed me to. And I think one of these days we're going to have the government coming in looking at our computers. Well, you agreed. You agreed here that you're going to pay, you know, an extra $5,000 in tax on every even-numbered year. I'm exaggerating, but it's intended to illustrate a point. Very difficult to follow what's happening in this world. And you can't just blame people. We do sometimes for being apathetic. But it's not just a matter of apathy. The world is so complex. As a result, some very brilliant and possibly shifty people, malicious people, they're in a position to bamboozle everybody. We become increasingly vulnerable, and we're made more vulnerable by the complexities that are going faster and faster and larger and larger, and it does not bode well for us. What's the next one?
Not only that, Al, I believe there's a lot of people who do know, maybe to some degree, but you're right. The world has become so complex. What do you do about it? You, at one point, you could become vocal. You could let other people know. But in today's world, they are drowned out by the media.
Not only drowned out, a lot of people are simply too honest to get into politics and say, listen, here's what I want to do. Because they're afraid, without really fully understanding their adversaries and the laws they're objecting to, and everything is so complex, honest people don't want to say anything until they're very confident. It's the crooks, the liars. They're the ones who go out there and tell you for sure that they want to do this, that, or the other. They don't know what they want to do. All they want to do is get more power, more money for themselves. And they'll say anything that works. Without understanding, it's just like Congress voting for Obamacare. They don't know what it means. They don't care what it means. What they want is more power, more money. We're in a difficult time. It's hard to look at this sometimes and avoid the suspicion that we are in or approaching end times. It's one of those things, you look at it and you say, my gosh, it certainly looks like we're headed for significant trouble. We've got a caller on the phone, Yvonne. Shall we take them now or hold them off until after the break?
Well, we got another minute till we get to break. Why don't we hold off until after the break?
All right, Yvonne, you hang on for 3-4 minutes, and we will catch up with you as soon as we get done with the break. What do we got? What's next, Melody? How about social networks?
That'll work.
All right, here's something. Justice Department, this is from Wealthy Debates website. Justice Department pays LinkedIn $500,000 for unlimited access to your personal information. The Justice Department is spending more than $500,000 to enhance its company profile on LinkedIn and increase its brand awareness. Now, most of you will recognize that LinkedIn is a social network where you can go in and you can associate with other people on a professional basis and tell them, here's my education and my training and so on, and it may be useful, at least in part, for getting jobs, but there's other points besides that. The contract between the Justice Department and LinkedIn on Christmas Eve gives government unlimited access to each of the network's 250 million users through LinkedIn's recruiter package. All right. Now, what does this all tell us? It tells us that those of you who want to jump into these social networks, you can't count on any privacy, and you are exposing yourself potentially to civil or criminal liability with the information that you post on the internet. We're going to take a break for a couple of moments for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And if Yvonne is still on the line, we've been having some sort of technical difficulties with our server in the last few minutes. And I don't know if Yvonne is still. Yvonne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Hello.
What you got for us?
Yeah. Belated Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Wish you all the best and a good year, a prosperous good year. But anyway, I have a couple of items or proclamations about two items. One is economy, crash of economy in the U.S. Then it's fall of the petrodollar.
Yep.
And this is, I feel, one is that China is set up the trade oil for gold, as you well know. There are 11 bilateral agreements for currency exchange bypassing the dollar.
Yeah.
The BRICS countries set up their own currency exchange bypassing the dollar. China stopped buying U.S. bonds. And as you know, that China is buying lands, hard assets, real estate, and Smithfield foods, etc. And it's only second to Canada in ownership of U.S. Property and so on. And, of course, all that would come down to a hyperinflation due to which will then collapse the dollar, as it did in Weimar. The other item which I foresee coming up is Israel attack on Iran, and this is due to the Saudis and Israel being joined at the hip as far as working together in undermining the different countries in Middle East. One is destabilizing Iraq. In fact, Al-Qaeda is controlling Fallujah and a couple other cities. The other thing is, since 2014 is a year when NATO is supposed to withdraw from Afghanistan, which is this year, they still want to have enough forces there in case something happened there. They have the 68,000 NATO troops still located there before they start pulling them out. And, of course, the destabilization of Lebanon. Recently, they had quite a couple of bombs exploding and so on. So those are my predictions for the new year. Any sunnit or any repudiation on it?
Well, I agree that, you know, the economy is certainly vulnerable. We've got a report here. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but talked about a return to diplomacy. And the government is now trying to stress diplomacy rather than invasions. And they are sending John Kerry off to try to negotiate deals to alleviate hotspots, political hotspots around the world and so on. And my point is that diplomacy only works, in my opinion, if you have a credible threat of force to back up that diplomacy. You and I can talk about things, but if one of us is packing, you know, a 45 caliber pistol, chances are we may wind up doing it the way the guy, we may wind up reaching a reasonable decision in favor of the guy who's got the 45 caliber pistol. I think insofar as we see the government moving to be more diplomatic rather than invasive, as we were in Afghanistan and Iraq, I think it's evidence that the government's going broke. They can't afford another war. They can't afford to get tangled up in another invasion where we put boots on the ground. We can still attack people. We're not crippled completely and the rest of that. But we can't afford another. And insofar as that's true, I don't think our diplomacy is going to work. We become paper tigers. The government of China, the government of Russia are essentially thumbing their noses at times, saying essentially they don't think our government has enough resources to actually fight on a ground war. We have resources for strategic attacks with nuclear weapons and so on. The point I'm trying to get to is that as we become less and less respected and perceived increasingly as a paper tiger, a lot of people who were intimidated into using dollars for the last 30 or 40 years, are going to now sit back and say, wait a second, I don't have to use those dollars. They can emulate what the BRICS are doing, for example. They can begin to get into their own bilateral agreements. They can eliminate the petrodollar. And as that happens, the dollar will become weaker. Global confidence in the dollar will fall. The dollar's value will decline further. We will be increasingly unable to foster wars in foreign countries. And you've got a little bit of a spiral here that points in the direction you were talking about. We're going to lose those petrodollars. We're going to see the economy will at least be diminished and it probably damaged. I don't know that it's going to collapse per se. Probably too strong a term, but I agree with your first prediction. I won't necessarily say that it's going to happen in this year, 2014, but we're on track. You know, we're on a railroad headed to that destination. The only question is how soon does our particular railroad car arrive at that destination? Well, your second prediction was the Israelis and the Saudis are working together to take on Iran. But I don't know how that's going to work out. You think that the Saudis and the Israelis will work together to attack Iran? That's your prediction for 2014.
Well, what I'm saying is that they are working together now.
Yeah.
Bandar, the, Prince Bandar, who is the intelligence, chief intelligence officer for the king in Saudi, he threatened even Putin that, I think it's a couple of months back, maybe a month back, where he threatened the Sochi Olympic Games by disrupting them if he doesn't go along as far as Syria is concerned. And Putin told him that he'll flatten Saudi with one nuclear bomb. And so...
I can't admire Putin. I mean, he gets to the point. Look, don't mess with me. We'll bomb you into oblivion.
You can see that in one way, Al-Qaeda is a friend. Another way, Al-Qaeda is an enemy.
How can that be, Ivan? How can they be in one way a friend, another way an enemy?
They are being used to facilitate the program in the Middle East, okay, for the greater Israel, order to... and we are playing the good cup and bad cup, okay? The Israel has a bad cup, the U.S. is a good cup, they go in and they... have the diplomatic discussions and so on, but nothing comes of it, as you have indicated, and you end up eventually in a shooting war, regardless what happens.
I understand.
But that's why I'm saying, since Afghanistan still has about 68,000 troops with NATO and U.S., so instead of shipping them back, they could be on their ready to... be close to Iran for a possible invasion or attack. So that's why that time frame is shrinking very quickly, maybe first or second quarter of this year.
Okay, let me ask you this: What do you think the odds are that Saudi Arabia and Israel will act together to attack Iran? I understand that it could happen this year. Anything could happen, but do you see it as a 20% probability, an 80% probability? It's not a certainty, that's for sure. Where do you peg the probability?
Well, it's I'd say between 75 to 80%. If you study history, how Saudi Arabia came about, it did come through... A person who lived in Iraq, he was of Jewish origin, and when Saudi was not yet Saudi Arabia, they were like maybe half a dozen different tribes.
Yep.
And he joined a tribe which won. Okay, they decimated the other five tribes, and what came after the First World War is, the Saudis, or after Second World War, actually, and which was carved out by England and France and U.S. And thus, they are, in fact, close to Israel, closer to Israel than, as far as relationship, than any other Arab state, because there was an origin of the Saudis' kingdom.
You're tracing it back to a Jewish individual that laid some sort of a foundation for the Saudi state. Beyond that, I'm going to guess that the Saudi state is far more secular than it is spiritual. And that's true for Israel, too. Israel is primarily a secular state. They talk about religion and the rest of it, but mostly they're just, they're secular. So they would naturally they'd have a common concern about Iran if Iran was more spiritual than secular. If Iran is purely secular, we can cut a deal. If Iran is primarily motivated on a spiritual basis, then perhaps no deal is possible, and that means you either got to deal with Iran or you're caught in a very situation. You're caught in a strange situation. If you're secular and they're spiritual, there's going to be a battle. If there's a that can't be easily resolved.
True.
Does that make any sense?
I agree mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be a level of discussion at which you can, you know, start. If it's secular, if it's spiritual, if it's religion or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a certain
commonality.
Basic commonality, right?
Yes.
And this is what that might be a good point, what you said, that they are of different, they stand on different platforms, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, and therefore they have different motivations.
And they have different motivations, but I think the only thing why Saudi is, you know, standing with Israel against Iran is because one is they are of course selling some oil to Israel. They are selling. They are close. I mean, you know, the borders are very close proximity. So, and like I say, the ancestral starting point which Saudi was created, you know, comes mm-hmm. from a
We've got a common denominator there. We've got who knows. I agree. The whole thing, politics makes strange bedfellows, that's for sure.
Right.
And how this is going to work out, you're predicting perhaps a 75% to 80% probability that Israel and Saudis will attack Iran. I myself would probably, I would see a lower probability. I myself think perhaps 20% probability. I don't think it's as likely. I don't know, you know, I can't say. It's just gut. I won't tell you that it's God's truth. It's just a gut feeling.
I see a 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know you would, Melody. I knew you would.
I've seen it.
50-50. Well, it could be. Melody does that all the time to me.
I missed that statement.
Melody thinks it's going to be a 50-50. I think it's 20-80. You think it's 80-20. Melody thinks it's 50-50. She always does that to me.
Well, I mean, she's coming closer to my side.
Yeah, but she's also coming closer to my side, too. You know, 50-50 coming closer to my side also. So,
you think I could beat Hillary?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. You've got a certain political instinct for grabbing the middle ground out of this thing. Yvonne, we're going to have to thank you for your call. We're about out of time. And we look forward to talking to you another time.
Take care.
Thank you.
And again, all the best.
Thanks.
All right. Happy New Year to you.
And bye-bye. I don't know if we have we have Chris from Kentucky.
We've only got 30 seconds left, Melody. Oh, no, we don't.
Hey,
we do 30 seconds.
Yes,
hello, Chris.
I
got 30
seconds.
I
know you're up for time. But I want to thank you so much for this program. I'm a new listener. I learned a lot about the silver and waking up, and I just want to know I'm on board with you all.
Thanks very much. We appreciate you listening.
Thanks,
we appreciate all of our listeners, Chris, and we're always glad to hear from them. We'll look forward to hearing from you another time. Right now, however, we are out of time. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.